Have you ever had that experience where an alarm wakes you from a deep sleep? I'm just like, what? I'm seeing a lot of nods on this. My experience reading the prophets has been like that. It's been like getting jarred from a deep sleep. We've got a whole lot to cover today, so we're going to dive right in. I invite you to write this down if you're taking notes. The prophets provide a wake-up call that most of us need. If you're just joining us, we are in part 6 of a 16-part series that we're doing on a section of scriptures that we call the prophets. And today, we're going to open up to the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is like one big wake-up call. That is Ezekiel. When the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the word was filled with warnings like this one, Ezekiel 11:12. "For you have not walked in my statutes, nor obeyed my rules, but you have acted according to the rules of the nations that are around you." Seeing the big eyes there. That is the reaction. One of the primary things that the people of God were called to do is to not do that. They were going to be a light to the rest of the nations. They were to be an example for the rest of the nations. And here God is saying, you're just like everybody else. Man, that is not what you want to be. So with so many people drifting so far off course, God said this to his servant Ezekiel. This is in chapter 33, 1 through 6. "Once again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a what? To be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to do what? To warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it's their own fault if they die. They've heard the alarm, but ignored it. So the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if a watchman sees an enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, he's responsible for their captivity. They're going to die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths." So Ezekiel is appointed as a watchman to bring this warning, to bring this wake-up call. And God said things like this. He wasn't just appointed. This guy was really affirmed and gifted. Look at this. He goes, "You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear." There's another verse in chapter 3 that says, "Ezekiel, I'm going to make you as hard as they are." And that, I just want to say to some of you guys where you're like, I'm not trying to be stubborn, and in situations you're not, but you're standing firm when the context really calls for it. I want to commend you for that. Our world needs more people who are standing on principle, not just being stubborn, but standing on principle. We need more of that. Well, God opened Ezekiel's eyes to so many important things, so many. And this morning, we're going to focus on just one of the alarms that Ezekiel sounded that's affecting all of us to some degree right now, all of us. And it seems to be getting worse instead of better. Today, what we're going to explore is what God revealed to Ezekiel about good shepherds and bad shepherds. Good shepherds and bad shepherds. In that time, in that place, the word that we translate as shepherd, it used to describe a leader. And here's why this affects all of us. All of us. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. Nothing affects everything like leadership. And influence takes countless forms. The reason I included that in parentheses, that's what leadership is in its essence. It's influence. It's influence. And it takes countless forms. It's obvious to see this in play if you start with the top of the org chart. Because look at the example of Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, what impact did he have on the world? You can't measure it. One life affects the entire world. What kind of example or what kind of impact did Hitler have on the world? You almost can't measure it, but it was a really horrible thing. One person in a leadership position can affect so many people. Nothing affects everything like leadership, and it's important to remember, influence takes countless forms. It's just not only the top of the org chart. What difference does a general make on a battlefield? Tons of difference. What difference does a CEO make in a company? Tons of difference. Tons of, what difference does a coach make on a team? Tons of difference. Ezekiel described what happened when the shepherds of Israel failed to uphold God's laws. Look at some of the things. Look how this unravels. Ezekiel 22, 29. The people have got to the spot where these chosen people, supposed to be lights to the nation, they're practicing extortion. They're committing robbery. They're oppressing the poor and the needy. They've extorted from the sojourner without justice. Nothing affects everything, like leadership. And leadership takes countless forms. What form does it take? It takes the forms of parents. Parents. The parents have influence. Yeah, absolutely. There are those who say those years 1 to 4 are the most impactful years in a person's life. Who has the most influence from years 1 to 4? Parents. Parents. Nothing affects everything like leadership, and influence takes countless forms. In Ezekiel's day, false prophets, false teachers, they were a big, big problem. Big, big problem. When the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, God instructed Ezekiel to call out these false prophets and false teachers. You can find this example in Ezekiel 13, where it says this. God says, prophesy to who? Prophesy to the prophets. How broken is that? Prophesy to the prophets. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination. Their visions are false. Their divinations are a what? A lie. We're going to look at an example of that next week. Divination, it was a lie. They say peace when there's not peace. Oh, this is so well worded, but it is God after all. When a flimsy wall is built, what do? Cover, try to make it look good. Cover with whitewash. Are there false teachers and false prophets today? Yes, lots of them. How many lives are they affecting? They're not affecting millions. They're affecting billions of lives. Billions of lives today. Next week, we're going to look at several examples of this, along with biblical guidance for how do you recognize false prophets and false teachers. We're going to zero in that specifically next week, because nothing affects everything like leadership, and influence takes countless forms. But one of the reasons that we're going to have the conversation that we're going to have today about good shepherds, bad shepherds, is because there are so many people that have influence, which is all of us. We all have influence. But there's so many influencers that are being platformed by so many professing believers. And one of the things it's doing, among many, it's filling them with so much hate. So much hate. We were talking about this last night at our elder board meeting. And everyone in that room knows somebody who we've seen over time become more and more bitter. More and more, I'm seeing nods all over the room. More and more bitter, more and more angry, more and more toxic, more and more completely closed off. I'm not listening to anybody except my people who believe everything that I believe. It's such a big problem. All right, related question. Do you need an official title or a million followers to have influence? No, you don't. I'm glad to see instantly people saying no. Many of us, we can think of positive examples where one person's courageous stand inspired others to go, okay, I'll do the right thing too. We can think of examples about that. And I've seen the studies where they had this whole group of really positive high performers. They put them in a room and they gave them a test where they could earn money. And then they snuck in one plant. One time they did it with a slacker. One time they did it with someone who was just snarky and cynical. It brought down the performance of the entire group. So positive person can make a difference. One negative person can. And as I was writing that in, I was reminded of Moses. Moses went through a lot, right? But what was the thing that caused him to go, God, kill me now? It was the grumblers and complainers. The grumblers and complainers got Moses to the point where he's like, God, just take me. I'm done. So don't be the kind of person that would make Moses want to die, right? Just don't be that person. Nothing affects everything like leadership, and influence takes countless forms, including grumbling and complaining. Good shepherds, positive peers, they can bring courage when there's fear. They can bring direction when there's confusion. They can bring hope when there's despair. They can bring light when there's darkness. They can bring truth where there's deception. And bad shepherds, negative peer pressure, can normalize unhealthy behavior. It can pull you away from family and friends. It can blind you to the truth. And it can put you on a path that'll lead you further and further and further away from a very, very good God who wants the best for you. Well, one of the things that we're going to see over and over and again, we've already seen this, but we're going to see it again in the prophets, is some version of turn to me and be saved. It's like coming up in every one of these ones we're looking at so far. Here's one of the places you find it in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33:11. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from their way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Can you just sense that? And God, he's like, you don't have to take that path. There's a better one. So, okay, if the Bible is true, and I believe it is, and there really is a good God who cares enough to send watchmen to wake people up, and as his watchmen, as his watchwomen, it is easy. It is easy. We have this important task, but it's easy to fall asleep. Easy to fall asleep on our watch. And it's even easy sometimes where we're welcoming in people we think are friends, but they're really foes. It's easy to do. And why? Here's a couple reasons. Bad influences, they're often really good into tapping what feels like righteous anger, but it's not. It's not. It's something else. But they're really good at tapping that. Oh, that's righteous anger, but it's not really exactly that. They're really good at that. I'll also be really honest. Bad influences can often be the most entertaining. There's a reason why they get a lot of the clicks when they're just ripping on other people and stuff like that, because they're entertaining. They're also a lot of fun often to be around, bad influences. And many of us can relate to this. Sometimes when it comes to the choices we have, especially with elections, sometimes it feels like I got a choice between bad or worse, right? And so it's really hard. It's hard. It's hard for us to really do this well. So here's the question that we're going to wrestle with then for the rest of our time and invite you to write it down. How can we sound the alarm about bad shepherds in a helpful and God-honoring way? How can we do this well? How do you thread that needle? How do you call a bad shepherd out, but how do you not do that in a really toxic way where then all of a sudden you are just shooting hate and all these things? All right, well, let's open our Bibles together and let's get guidance from the Word on this, and then we're going to get very, very practical with some steps that you can take here today. The section we're going to look at from Ezekiel, there's so much good in Ezekiel, is Ezekiel 34. So if you want to turn there to chapter 34, verses 1 through 6, that's where we'll start. And I want to let you know, too, if you don't have a Bible at home, hit pause right now. You can download a free Bible app at Bible.com. You want to have the unfiltered Word of God accessible to you, so you're not relying on what other people say about the Bible, but you can look it up yourself. So we encourage you to do that right now. All right, so here we go. Ezekiel chapter 34, 1 through 6. The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy. Say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel who should have been, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you don't feed the sheep. The weak you've not strengthened, the sick you've not healed, the injured you've not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you've ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains, every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth, with none to search for or seek for them. When the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, God used a metaphor for leaders and influencers that was often used in that time, that place, and that was shepherds. But if you tuned out for a second, come back for this. The metaphor for shepherd wasn't new. That was being used. What's different here, though, is what God says about the shepherds, the expectations that he sets for shepherds. They are radically different than what was happening in that time and in that place. In that time and in that place, It was normal for the surrounding nations, for the other nations. It was normal. It was expected that the shepherds would look out for themselves. It's one of the reasons you wanted the power, so you could look out for yourselves. That was normal. In that time and that place, in the surrounding nations, you didn't feed the hungry. You didn't strengthen the weak. Getting rich at another's expense was one of the perks of being a leader. That was normal. The word of the Lord spoken through Ezekiel, it was a wake-up call to a people who were called to model a different way. And they had just become like who? Everybody else. It was a wake-up call. You become like them. This is not the example you were to set. So God says, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm going to rescue my sheep from their mouths, these bad shepherds. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 6, 16. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. All right. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search out for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among the sheep and they've been scattered, so will I seek out the sheep. And I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, on the ravines, in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. And on rich pasture, they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong, I'll destroy. I'll feed them in justice. That's what God says. That's what I'm going to do. The promise echoes then throughout the prophets. This promise that there was going to be a Messiah, one who's going to come, that God was going to do these things. And we've got the example in Micah. We're just going to jump to Micah for just a minute to just show you this prophecy that there was going to be a good shepherd to come is all over the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5 says this. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. And he will stand and what? Shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to all the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. God promised to send a good shepherd. And in the fullness of time, he did. And it's really interesting. In chapter 10 of John, Jesus of Nazareth, he applies this metaphor to himself. And one of the reasons I said it's really interesting was just jumping out when I'm rereading Ezekiel 34. You know how God was talking first person, my. This is another example of how why we get the doctrine of the Trinity, right? God's saying, I'm going to be the shepherd. And who's the shepherd? Well, it's God and also Jesus. It's just all over. Well, Jesus, when he modeled being this good shepherd and was this good shepherd, it wasn't something he just proclaimed with his lips. He demonstrated it with his life. Well, now as you turn the corner then from reading this and hearing the word of the Lord, let's turn that corner to putting it into practice. As we do that, I want to encourage you to write this down. The best way to help others see what they're missing is to do what? What is it? To model it, right? To model it. You're going to see that word again in one of my other points here. I can't stress that enough. We could yell at people. We can point to people. We can say, this is what you should do. People need to see it. People need to see it. Especially with the contrast that's out there. In our day, it is normal. It is normal in our day for leaders and influencers to look out for their own self-interest or their own re-elections, right? It's just normal. In our day, it's normal for leaders and influencers to say that they care, because people they focus group all this stuff, right? So they know what to say. They say, I care. But some of the same people who say they care, they cut off any kind of help for those who need it, or they just enable when they should be empowering, and then they got to get the selfie. Look at me. I'm giving money to these poor people, right? That's normal. That's normal. In our day, it's normal for leaders and influencers to not go look for the lost, but to say, we're going to destroy them. If they're not with us, we're going to destroy them. We hate them. You should hate them too. That's normal. Rather than trying to understand their perspective, why do you see things the way you do? Hey, maybe we could have a conversation and trying to have a productive conversation. As I was praying for this message, I came across what one scholar said about this passage we just read, Ezekiel 34. It was so good. He noted that when God says, I'm going to do this, he's undoing all of the things that the bad shepherds were doing. Can we put this up on the screen? Look at this. And here's the references to it. Here's what good shepherds do. God says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to search for the lost. I'm going to deliver the captives. I'm going to gather the dispersed. I'm going to feed the hungry. I'm going to rest the weary. I'm going to bind up the hurt. I'm going to strengthen the weak. I'm going to protect the vulnerable. And I'm going to equip the needy. With a show of hands, wherever you are, how many think the world would be a better place with more of that? I got two hands here. The world would be so much better place with more of that. And then that brings us into today's invitation. Today's invitation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be casting a vision really quickly here for six different action steps. What I'd like you to do as we're going through those, my hope is that we'd want to do all of them. But what I'd like you to do, and actually what I'm going to ask you to do, is to commit to one. Why commit to one? Because you can only take one step at a time, right? And we can say, I'm going to do all this, and hopefully you will. But this week, say, I'm going to focus on this one thing. This week, each day, I'm going to try to do this, all right? So as we're going through this list, which you're going to go through quickly, try to think, which of these this week am I going to focus on? Here's number one. We invite you to pray for leaders. For some of you, that might be your thing this week. You're convicted of, you know what? I'm not doing that at all. And not just praying for the ones that you like, but to pray for the others. So many good things happen in our hearts when we pray for others. So many things could happen in other people's lives when we pray. So that could be your thing this week. Here's another one, number two. Your thing might be to insulate yourself from the scriptures. To insulate is to get close to something. Take away whatever's between you. To get into the word yourself every day. Maybe that's yours. I'm just going to start reading it because the Bible is filled with all kinds of examples, good and bad. The Bible is filled with all kinds of principles and teachings about this is the kind of influence we should have and this kind of influence others should have. So insulate yourself for that. That might be yours. Or insulate yourself. That might be yours. Number three, yours might be this. There's that word. Model the behaviors you want to see in others. That maybe this week your thing is, you know what? I complain about this a lot. I'm going to model it. And also, I'm just going to put a plug in here, shameless plug right now. Not because we make any money off it. We don't. But there's this thing coming up this August called the Global Leadership Summit. Be listening for that as we announce it. It is such exceptional training for how do you use your influence well. So encourage you that. Okay, so yours might be this week. I'm going to focus on modeling, doing the example, setting the example of what I want to see in others. All right, your thing might be this, number four. Number four, you might be this. This probably all of us, again, this might be one you focus on. Be careful who and how you platform. Be really, really careful on who you're really spending a lot of time listening to, and be careful who you are telling others to listen to. What you're forwarding. I'm seeing, again, a lot of nods here. If we are going to become godly watchmen and watchwomen, it is essential that we practice good discernment. Essential. And we should have good discernment, godly discernment, when it comes to who we personally watch, like, listen to, subscribe to, and what we forward to others. It's so important. I mean, everywhere I go, I'm on my walk today. I think everybody I passed, everybody had their phones on, their earplugs, right? People are listening to stuff constantly. It matters what you're listening to, right? And what you're passing along. It's so important. When you are engaging, like number three, when you're engaging in insulating the Bible, you're reading the Bible yourself, you're able to fact check these people and you're able to recognize more and more, oh, wait a minute. Right? This is a good example, not a bad. You can hold them accountable. But here's the other thing. If you're engaging the scriptures every day, it can also help you monitor what's happening in your own hearts and minds too. So here's where I'm going with this. For example, the Bible says one way that you can recognize a good shepherd from a bad shepherd is by their fruit. And one of the tests that I'm starting to use a lot more of when it comes to the voices I'm listening to, what kind of fruit is showing up in my life through their teaching, right? Am I becoming more like Jesus, or am I becoming more angry and bitter and judgmental and these kind of things? Am I better equipped to have a productive conversation, or am I quicker to just say, you don't agree with me, you're on the wrong side, right? I remember I was having a flashback when I was working on this to the early 2000s. And in my drive time, I would always listen to this one particular talk, radio personality, this talk show. And I realized I'm becoming an angrier and angrier person. And I'm like, you know what? I just need to turn this off, because I'm starting to see people who disagree with me politically, not as someone who I disagree with, but someone who I should hate, right? And all that kind of thing. And it was okay for me to treat them with contempt and mock them, all that. So I remember turning him off. And I remember after some time going, well, you know what? I'm not as angry as a person. And then I had a flashback to remember I was in my senior pastor's office at the time at this other church I was at. And on his desk, he had a framed autograph of that guy. And I'm like, oh no. And sure enough, that person got influenced like I had been influenced. And that cascaded into the church. And it got so bad. Like, I remember I didn't want to invite my friends just even for the bumper stickers that I saw in people's cars. It affects us. It affects us. And then we affect others. We affect others. So maybe that one is your number your this week. I'm going to extra scrutiny in a good way of what I'm listening to and what I'm passing on. All right. Maybe yours isn't that though this week. Maybe yours is this. Number five. Advocate for checks and balances. This is important. Who needs accountability? Everybody. If King David is talked about as a man after God's own heart, he needed accountability. If David needed accountability, who needs accountability? Everybody. One of the most helpful things you can do for an organization that you care about or people you care about is to find ways to advocate for healthy systems where everyone has checks and balances in their lives and accountability in their lives. So maybe that's your focus this week. Or maybe it's number six. We only got two more. Maybe it's number six. Here's another one. Hold professing believers to a higher standard. The reason I'm saying that is because the Bible says that. The Bible says, who are we to judge those on the outside? Right? That's not our job. To hold people accountable, for us to hold people accountable to things that God says when they say they don't believe in God, they're just being consistent, right? God says, let me take care of that, right? Let me take care of that. Who are we supposed to be focusing our attention on when it comes to accountability to God's law? It should be our brothers and sisters, right? In Christ. So for some of you, that might be your thing this week, to say, you know what? I'm going to love and set a great example and pray for the people who don't know God, try to be a witness to them, and they can see something in my life that they're like, I want more of that. So we can help them, because they're on a path that's ultimately going to lead to destruction. But when it comes to holding people accountable right now, I'm going to focus on my brothers and sisters who say they're followers of Jesus. Okay? All right. Your thing this week might be that, or here's the last one. Last one, number seven. Your thing this week might be to love those who you call out. To not just call them out, but love them. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And maybe this is one thing that God's going to put on your heart to convict you. I'm going to speak the truth, but I'm going to do it in a loving, caring way. All right, again, all these things are things that all of us, you know, should be striving for. But in just a minute, I'm going to ask for a show of hands on which one you're committing to this week. All right, and so wherever you are, we're going to ask you to do that too. So just be thinking which one this week that I want to commit to. But before I do that, I just want to go where the Bible goes. In the chapters that follow 34, and I invite you to read them all. In the chapters that follow 34, Ezekiel's prophecy, the one about good shepherds, this is what comes next. What comes next is this incredible vision, of the kingdom to come, where hearts of stone are replaced with hearts that are receptive to God's Holy Spirit. That comes after this teaching. and the enemies of God are defeated once for all. That comes after this teaching. And there's this incredible vision, oh, I wish you had more time, of these dry bones, and life is breathed into them. God brings them to life. And then after that, the glory of God that Ezekiel had seen go away from the temple is now coming back. The glory of God is coming back. The watchman sees a new temple, a new city. And from that sight comes a stream, and the stream gets bigger and it becomes a river. And everywhere that river goes is life. It's this vision of a new kingdom to come. And the book of Ezekiel ends with this, by revealing the name of that city. Here it is, Ezekiel 48:35. The name of that city from that time on shall be what? The Lord is there. That's the future we're heading towards. That's what we're gonna do. And the reason we're even having this teaching is because we have an opportunity to give people a glimpse of that, right? When we are influencing others in positive ways, when we're holding our leaders accountable for being good shepherds, when we're training people up and raising people up, and we're doing this, we are creating, we're giving people a glimpse of how we can treat each other in a better way to live. We're helping people see the kingdom that's getting closer and closer with each passing day. So this week, I want to challenge you as best we can. Pick one of these and put it into practice this week. So is there anybody that's thinking about number one? Yeah, I'm going to be praying. Thank you. I'm going to be praying for our leaders. How about unsolating? I'm going to get into the word extra this week. Maybe that one is yours. Okay, we got that one. How about modeling behaviors? I'm going to be modeling the behaviors I want to see. Awesome. So great. How about the, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be extra careful. I'm going to filter my platforms a little bit, seeing that one. All right. How about advocating checks and balances? All right. you're triple dipping. She goes, I can't choose. That's good. I can't choose. There's so many. This is great. I'm going to hold professing believers to a higher standard. And about the one about loving those we call out. All right. Great. You guys, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Pick one of these, because when we are consciously becoming and platforming good shepherds, we're building something really, really, really special. We're building a God with us family. And as we build it, we're modeling something that the world needs to see more of. We have one last thing for you to write down. Here it is. Let's give our world a glimpse of what Ezekiel saw. Can I get an amen? Let's give them a glimpse. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes. Help us to first and foremost look within. Through your goodness, Holy Spirit, through your kindness, open our eyes and do it in such a way that will lead us to repentance. Help us, Lord, to take a step this week towards becoming a good shepherd, and also, Lord, be removing those influences in our lives that are just having a place they shouldn't have. Lord, we also want to pray for those we care about. I bet every person in this room can think of somebody who's being influenced in such a negative way. Lord, give us insight. Lord, we pray you protect them from the evil one. We pray that you would open their eyes to what's happening. We pray that you'd open their eyes to see healthier folks, including us, Lord, as we're trying to walk this out. Lord, open their eyes to the truth. Help us to model a better way. And Lord, we can't thank you enough for all the examples all around your world, within your church, Lord, your church that extends around the globe. Thank you for these examples in the past. Thank you for the examples all around us. Thank you for the examples in our midst. Lord, help us to be counted among them. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.